it's the end of time. And the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hey, 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 welcome to Self-Reliance Exposed with Colorado Ron and Bubba Da Vinci, brought to you by Backwoods Home Magazine. Hey, Colorado, how's it going today?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm battening down the hatches.
What?
Yeah.
Got another storm coming in?
Yeah, yeah. It's they announced a couple hours ago that we're expecting a storm to come blowing across Chicago and in our direction, and they're saying 10 inches of snow. So I am through with these storms. I am telling you.
But no, we're good over here.
Yeah, I was just on WeatherChannel.com and looking at it, and you know, my guess is, you know, when these things come across, it's just like in Iowa. You know, they have these massive storms, and they come down through Minneapolis and down and in Minnesota, and they look like they're going to blow straight across Iowa. And so much of the time, they just end up going, you know, north and east of us. But you get all prepared. So although I am prepared for 10 inches of snow, I am anticipating that it'll go through Chicago and it'll blow east well before it ever gets here, and hopefully we get absolutely none of it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no, we're beautiful sunny out here, so
yeah, I don't want to
complain. Yeah, of course, yesterday we had a little snow come through, but wasn't too bad, and then it's back sunny again today. So.
I mean, does Mother Nature realize that it's now March? I mean, it seems silly. I mean, we need the thaw. It doesn't have to be sunny and, you know, 60 degrees, but at some point you have to start thawing. So
you want to know my theory on it?
Sure.
Want to know my theory on this? Okay. Every year, in my opinion, the winter goes longer. It starts later. I think the calendar's off, man. I really do. I think our calendar system is off. Somebody missed a decimal point somewhere because, you know, we get more and more snow into April. We get snowstorms here in April sometimes. It's like, you know, somebody's off somewhere, you know, because our snowstorms don't even start usually now until December before we even get snow. So,
yeah, actually, I was talking to someone, and that seems to be the case in Iowa, too. They said, you know, 40, 50 years ago, you know, it seemed like you had more snow in early November, ran through December, and come April, you know, March and April, spring was kind of starting off. And now, you know, they were saying that March is actually the snowiest month for Iowa.
Yeah, same here. February, late February, early March is the snowiest time of year, the snowiest part of winter here in Colorado. And that's just like, you know, that's silly. Something's wrong. Somebody missed a decimal point somewhere. I think the Mayans did it.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that we need to change it all up, and March now becomes December. And we'll just, you know, kind of rotate everything back because it should be snowiest in December.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I feel.
I agree 100%. Okay, let it be so. You know, Colorado Ron Bubba Da Vinci said, change the calendar. And so
that's right. We'll send that to Obama. Let's see if we can get that passed.
Oh,
I'm sure we can get that ramrodded through.
Okay, well, let me tell you. Don't even get me. I mean, have you heard the latest on that? You know, he has.
You know, normally we do not talk about politics on this show, but I'm telling you, I'm having to really bite my tongue lately.
Oh, I know. The latest one, which I just thought was silly that I read today, was that the Obama administration had announced that they were stopping tours in the White House because of the sequester cuts. And I'm just like, okay, there's about 1,000 things that you could cut that you know, we spend way too much money on. And the thing that you choose to cut is the $5 an hour or whatever minimum wage is in D.C. now, job of touring the White House. It's like, you got to be kidding me. Come on.
Oh, I know. I know. I know it's ridiculous. You know, it's, don't, like I said, I try not to get even riled up about it because it's, you know, there's nothing we can do to change it. But, you know, it really is sad that it's an end of an era, you know, that the Thunderbirds are getting grounded. You know, that was one of the cutbacks. You know, that's an American tradition. That's really sad.
What's the purpose of grounding them?
Cut expenses, cut costs.
But they make money at those air shows. I mean, it would seem like that's a wash.
Oh, well, our government obviously is not interested in making money.
Oh, yeah, I forgot, making money. That doesn't fall into the Constitution or anything. We don't pay the bills. Yeah, we just print it and hand it out. Well, listen, here's something that the government has done right. I have to give them credit. Today they announced that starting April 25th, you will now be allowed to carry certain types of pocket knives back on planes.
You're kidding.
Nope. Got announced this morning. The Knife Carry Act, starting April 25th, Swiss Army-type knives with blades no longer than 2.3 inches, non-fixed, will now...
2.3 inches?
Well, it's basically Swiss Army knives. So, I mean, you're talking pocket knives, pen knives, things like that, your little case knife that keep in your pocket.
I'm looking at my ruler here, too. What am I supposed to do with that?
Well, I mean, they're not saying survival weapon. I mean, it's basically that 2.36 inches is the standard blade size on a Swiss Army knife.
All right. So maybe I can carry a couple. You know, there's a couple different options for multi tools that would work.
Yeah, like you're not like my Leatherman. I have a really big Leatherman that has like all of it. I measured the blade and it was just slightly over 3. Now, will they actually pull that out and go, oh, well, that's a multi-tool, that's okay?
Nope.
Probably not. But I do have a standard Swiss Army knife that I carry in my backpack. And I like they said that they get a tremendous amount of like single or double blade knives, that the blades aren't that long and they're just people's everyday pocket knives or Swiss Army knives. And I was like, it's a first step. You know, it's a first step to getting some decent things back in there. But, of course, the stewardesses and pilots are complaining.
What?
Yeah. According to the report, like in Southwest Airlines, the union for Southwest Airlines, you know, jumped on board and started complaining that, you know, it was creating a dangerous environment for the stewardesses and for the pilots. And I was just kind of like, you know, when I'm in first class, they give me a metal butter knife. And I can do just as much damage with a metal butter knife as I can with that stupid little blade on a Swiss Army knife.
Exactly.
It's like, lady, if you're that worried about it, you should stop flying. Because it's like, I'm sure most terrorists can jump out. They're going to do more damage with their hands if you're a terrorist than they are with the Swiss Army knife taking over the plane.
Absolutely. Hey, can I ask you a secret?
Sure. Ask me a secret?
Yeah. Do you turn off your all electronics when taking off on a plane?
Do I turn off all electronics when I take off on a plane? No.
Me neither.
Yeah. Here, you know, I do, unlike a lot of people, I don't think that it's really a need. I understand the precaution because, you know, people don't turn off the transceivers on their devices. They just click them off. Because I have seen people trying to text when we're at 8,000 feet. and that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But you know, if I go off there and I turn off the Wi-Fi connection or put it in airplane mode, you know, there's nothing on that device that is sending any sort of signal that's going to interfere with any of the plane gear. Now, I don't, I also, but I don't, you know, watch a movie while it's happening. I actually respect them. I click the button, yep. I turn it off, I put it inside the thing, and I sit there and I listen attentively.
Same here.
To the things that they're talking about. But no, you know, it's just I look at it and I go, you know, if somebody asks me, it's like, look, it's an airplane mode. It's not sending or receiving any data. It's not doing anything. I think they just do that because they figure if they don't take that extra step and tell you to turn it off, most people won't do the first step, which is turn off the, you know, the transmitter.
You know, if my iPhone can interfere with the airplane electronics, I suggest they probably ought to better get a better airplane.
Yeah, I mean, they did a Mythbusters. I love that show. There's a shameless plug. And they had done a Mythbusters where they took all kinds of plane equipment and then took all kinds of electrical equipment, you know, Wi-Fi, everything, and tried to get it to interfere with the gear. And they did it from, like, 3 feet away. You know, it's like, okay. And what they found, if I remember, they were like, the myth is busted. You had to find it like a, you know, 1970s brick phone that was running it like, you know, I don't remember what it was, like 40 megahertz in order for it to be able to running on the same things that the airplane was. So there was a reason for it at some point. And I also know and that's the reason why they don't want you using GPS and everything else, because I believe it runs at the lower megahertz than other things. But hell, you know, they've been running 900 megahertz, you know, since like 88. Yeah, so I don't think that there's any way. I think it's just, hey, if we tell them to do something and they do it, you know, we can just keep making the rules and they'll listen. that's kind of the thing.
Yeah. That's why I don't fly anymore, people. That's why I don't fly anymore.
So, hey, you heard that Chavez died in Venezuela, huh?
I did.
What do you think about that?
You know, I guess I don't feel bad. Is that bad?
You know, Mr. President Hugo Chavez, he was – I don't know enough about him, honestly, to say whether, you know, he was good or bad or whatever. I know he was very, very anti-United States.
Yeah.
From everything I've heard, you know, he was – a very negative force for his country, but most of the people, when they show videos and things like that, they seem to really love him. But, you know, how much of that is due to the Gestapo tactics he used to get in power and the things that he did, you know, based on that? I mean, I always look at it, you look at his friends. I mean, this is a guy who was friends and talked to like Yasser Arafat and, you know, people like that on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah.
And, yeah. People tend to judge people on the company that they keep. So, yep. I mean, when you look at all the people and the countries that he supports that are very anti-American, then I guess you have to figure that there's something to it.
Well, if people judge people like that, then we can't hang out anymore.
Hey, that's funny. That's all right. I hear Venezuela has a spot open.
All I know is that half the homes in Florida seem to be filled with people that don't like him because they ended up leaving their homes because of him. So that's never a good sign.
Yeah, but arguably, whenever you have a country that has different political beliefs and things like that, you're always going to have a percentage of the people who flee because
that's
they don't
true.
Like that. I mean, Chavez's style was to tout revolution. You know, he was a military dictator. You know, and it's, I don't know. In some countries, that seems to work. That's not the style of the United States. So, you know, we tend to go, okay, but. Yeah, somehow he managed to, you know, grow his country significantly. And let me tell you, that country had a lot of oil resources. So he had a lot of friends in the world outside
yes.
the United States.
Yes, no, that is true. That is true. But I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's not sad news, but at the same time, you know, he's kind of been on the brink for, you know, he's been standing on the cliff of death there for quite a while, hasn't he?
Yeah, you know, I didn't follow it enough. I know that he wasn't able to take his like oath of office because of the cancer, you know. And I believe he's been battling it for like a couple of years, 2-3 years or 4 years or something like that. So, but the guy's been in charge. Like, he's been in that country. He's been the ruler of that country for like 12 years or 13 years or something.
Yeah, it's been a while. I can't remember exactly how long, but long enough, I guess. So, yeah, I hear you.
Well, let me tell you, I think you have to be a military dictator when you have a name like Hugo. I mean, come on, I bet the kids picked on him. I mean, come on, Hugo. he was either gonna grow up to be like a clown or a dictator. That was it. I mean, those were his choices.
Oh man. So hey, have you ever thought about fleeing the country?
Let me tell you, every day when I wake up and I look at the news.
It's crazy, isn't it? I've gotten to the point I don't even watch Drudge Report anymore. I just reading over the titles of Drudge Report is enough to set me off.
I agree. There was a headline I think this morning that was like, Obama administration, gave Egypt another $250 million on domestic spending or something like that.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay. In on breath number one, you're saying the White House cancels tours over sequester cuts. You know, that was what the lawmaker, you know, okay, we're going to cut this, you know, like I said, $10 an hour job. Oh, yeah, but let's give Egypt $250 million.
Right. Yep.
And I don't know. I just.
Or some kid gets arrested, some little school kid gets arrested for a Pop-Tart gun. You know,
really? I haven't heard that one. Pop-Tart gun?
Yeah, he took his Pop-Tart and ate it into the shape of a gun. Some little kid, I don't know, first, second grade, I don't remember. He wasn't very old. He said he tried to make a mountain. He was trying to eat it and turn it into a mountain or something, and it didn't work, but it did kind of look like a gun. And so he made it a gun. And he ended up getting suspended.
You're talking about the shape of the Pop-Tart itself.
Yes.
He chewed off the pieces, and it looked like a gun. And they suspended him for school for pointing a Pop-Tart at someone.
Yep.
What state was this in?
I don't remember. It was too stupid to even follow. I just ticks me off. As long as it wasn't Colorado, I guess, I wasn't worried about it. But, yeah, there's just
that
too many stupid people out there.
That had to be California. I'm so sorry.
No, I think it was out East Coast somewhere. I can't remember. I'll look it up while we're talking.
Okay,
but yeah.
Definitely do that because I'm going to have to take a vacation there and carry like a double. You know, I'll have a Pop-Tart gun in each pocket and just walk around. Bang, 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 bang. You know, it's like, come on, guys.
Brooklyn Park, Maryland.
Maryland. Okay. Well, yeah, something. It was probably the husband or wife of someone that was used to give White House tours and has been sequestered.
Yeah, they're all mad because they get a job.
Yeah. If my wife doesn't have a job, you can't have a Pop-Tart. Come on.
So for those that are not aware of this, you can look it up, but I'll quickly read this real quick. It says a seven-year-old boy, so you know, same age as one of my little boys here, was suspended for 2 days by his elementary school because he fashioned his Pop-Tart pastry into the shape of a gun. He says, all I wanted to do was try and turn it into a mountain, but it didn't look like a mountain, really. It turned out to be a gun, kinda. Park Elementary School in Brooklyn Park, in Brooklyn Park, Maryland, sent a letter home to his parents stating a student used food to make an inappropriate gesture. How do you even write that letter? You're such a dork. Whoever wrote that letter, you're a dork. That's all there is to it.
No kidding. If you have something, give me a Pop-Tart, and I'll send you an inappropriate gesture. Because that is just a ridiculous even thought process. That someone even looked at that Pop-Tart and go, that reminds me of a gun. That just where is your – oh, jeez. Let's switch topics.
Stupid. stupidity at its greatest. And that's our school systems, guys. And that's why, you know, somebody posted up on Facebook, and that's why I do not want my teachers to have guns.
No kidding.
Wow,
I don't even know what to say about that. That's just, and what's even worse is someone thought that was newsworthy.
You know, that school should have been, oh, never mind, whatever. It's so stupid. It's just retarded. That's the problem. That's the problem with our country and where it's going. You know, I'll give you an example, and this is something that really ticks me off. As you know, Bubba, I'm not a very good rule follower. I don't like to follow rules. You know, coming back from Texas, I ended up getting 2 speeding tickets, you know, whatever, you know, 36 and a 30. I'll, you know, slap my wrist, okay? But, you know, I took my kids out to the local rec center to go swimming on Friday night, and my daughter, my youngest daughter, she's four?
Yeah, four.
Five.
No, four.
She's four. She just turned five. Sorry, she's five. She turned five in January. And she was scared to make any moves. You know, for instance, there was one pool. The kiddie pool is right next to the big pool. And there's a little railing there, and I said, "Hey, climb through the railing, and I'll hold you, and we'll go. We'll stay in the. You can hang out in the big pool with me." And she looked at the lifeguard and says, "Oh, I think I'll get in trouble. I think I'll get in trouble." What the crap? You know, I mean, why in the world are kids that scared? And it wasn't just one incident. You know, this happened several times throughout the evening with my kids. And every time that whistle blew, my kids would get the, you know, had their full attention, and they, you know, they had fear in their eyes as they looked up at the lifeguard. And that's just stupid.
You know, it's a conditioning, which is sad.
Yes.
That they've been preconditioned that everything that they do is wrong.
Yep.
Now, I agree with you 100%. I mean, just some of the things I believe that, you know, parents need to allow the teachers and some of these in the school to, like, punish their kids to a certain degree if they're misbehaving. It's what is misbehaving. You know, for example, and just to follow your example before we jump into the rest of our show, you know, we had the kind of the same situation at our church. You know, my daughters go to Bible study on Wednesday nights.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, my kind of philosophy on this is you want kids to be excited about going to Bible study. It's hard enough. Hell, when I was a kid, it was like pulling teeth to get me to go.
Same here.
But, you know, but nowadays, you know, they try to make it fun. So there's this lady, and I won't use her name, but she's, you know, she's out there and she's one of the teachers there. And she is just, the kids were done with the Bible study. They were outside and they were playing tag. And it's dark outside. And, you know, my wife was, like, you know, 10 feet away talking to another parent. And this teacher comes out and starts screaming. And I'm going, "Stop making so much noise. Stop playing. Stop playing." It's like they're not in the church. They're outside where there's trees, where there's lawn. They're not destroying anything. They're being kids.
Yeah, let them be kids.
And my wife was like, they weren't even being obnoxiously loud or loud. They were giggling as they were playing tag. They weren't screaming. They weren't doing it. She goes, you know, and the kids all walked away and just, you know, went over and sat down. It's like, when did society say, you know, you have to be punished for everything you do? Just, you know, it's, you're not supposed to have fun. You're not supposed to talk. You're not supposed to enjoy life or be kids. You know, punish the kids that are, you know, breaking things and being obnoxious and cursing and do, I mean, all the things that are bad. Don't punish the kids that just want to be kids.
Right. Right. Oh, no. I know. It just chaps me. It just chaps me really bad, you know. But I don't know. What do you do? I mean, there's just so many different thought processes, I guess, on kids and what rights and wrongs. And, you know, I see the other extreme, too, where the mother's always constantly yelling at them. And then you get the mother that doesn't do jack. And her kids are running around screaming and jumping up and down on the church benches. And the mother doesn't want to do anything about it, you know. So, you know, I see both extremes. And I, you know, I just wish people had a little bit more common sense.
I think I just need to move to Venezuela. That's it. That's all there is to it. It's like, forget this. Yeah, let's go live under a dictator. Oh, wait, we already do.
Bada bing.
Yeah, all right. All right, well, let's talk about who we have on today. We will be talking here just momentarily to Dan Adams. Do you remember Dan?
I do remember Dan.
Now, Dan is the creator and owner of Earthineer, which is a, well, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a...
Homesteading. It's like Facebook for homesteaders.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. Yeah, it's definitely a Facebook for homesteaders, and part of that process is, you know, we'll talk to him a little bit about you know, why he created it and everything else. But I also know he's been working on some very cool projects, so we wanted to touch base with him today. And then the second part of the show will actually be a pre-recorded show. Not that the first part's not pre-recorded, but the second part's a pre-recorded from last week, talking to Doc Bones and Nurse Amy. And I appreciate everybody on Saturday who sent me a Facebook message saying, hey, your show is messed up. I have no idea why it was garbled and why it wasn't working, but I've listened to the recording and it sounds fine from our end, so we're going to edit and slice it in here so you can hear what the conversation is was for last week. But
it was Bubba's fault.
It was, apparently, since I'm the one that does the editing. But I got 97 messages on Facebook.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I don't think I've ever gotten that many messages on anything because I don't have that many friends. So,
but they're quick to tell you how bad you suck.
Well, yeah, because how we have it set up with Blog Talk is before the show starts, it sends an email or a Facebook notice through my Facebook saying, hey, the show's about ready to start. And so apparently a lot of them clicked on it, and when it was all garbled and after 2 minutes when it just cut off and said there's an error in this, they all sent me links showing me that it said there was an error in it and said, hey, your show's broken. Your show's broken. And my cell phone was going ding, 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 ding. And I was like, what the heck? And then I read it. And I read it and I go, oh, geez. So I ran in, booted up the computer, looked at it, couldn't figure out how to fix it. So went ahead and there's a button that you can push that says play old episode. And I did and selected an old episode. So at least something was playing. But, thank you to all 97 of you that you know, basically drained my battery that morning for myself. All right. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, let's get Dan the Earthineer on, and we will chat with him and see what he's up to.
Awesome. Let's do it.
All right. We'll be back in a minute.
If everything you eat comes out of boxes stored in your freezer, you might need the Self-Reliance Expo. If you're afraid to take out your own garbage because the neighbor kids might beat you up, you might need the Self-Reliance Expo.
Over 50 training classes are coming to the Self-Reliance Expo. This family-friendly event focuses on traditional values and long-forgotten skills. Gardening, alternative home building, off-grid living, food preservation, cooking with the sun, self-defense classes, canine demos, and more.
If you can kill a houseplant just by looking at it, you might need the Self-Reliance Expo.
The Self-Reliance Expo is fun for the whole family and is the largest of its kind in the nation. Learn how to do it yourself. Learn how to defend yourself. Save money. Save a life.
If the only screwdriver you own is made of orange juice and vodka, you might need the Self-Reliance Expo.
It's the Self-Reliance Expo, coming soon. Find out more by going to SelfRelianceExpo.com. That's SelfRelianceExpo.com.
Hey, 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 you guys are back with Self-Reliance Exposed with Colorado Ron and Bubba Da Vinci. All right, we ready to give good old Danny Boy here a call?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, well, he is in Kentucky, I think. Yeah, you know, I was trying to – here's the thing. Here's a guilty statement. I didn't do notes today. So it's when I was looking at this and I was like, oh, yeah, we have Dan coming on and everything else. I was like, okay, how much can I remember – you know, between now and the time that we get him on.
He is from Kentucky, though. I do remember that.
Okay, well, let's see if we can get Dan on here. It's ringing now, supposedly. Hey, Dan?
Hey, guys.
Hey! How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yourself?
We're doing fine. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
So, all right, the first question I have to ask is, did you talk your dad into joining the show?
Yes, he's here.
Yeah, he twisted my arm.
Hey, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
I'm doing all right, thank you. And you?
Very good. So, Dan, we're going to start in with you. So we were telling the audience, now you are the original creator and an owner of Earth and Ear, correct?
Yes, correct.
Now, when we talked to you last time, you know, you were just kind of putting things out there, and there were some, you know, parts of the project that you were trying to finish up and everything else. Can you just give us an update on where you are overall with Earth and Ear since the last time we talked to you last year?
Sure, sure. And I'm trying to remember when it was. I think it was end of the year last year that we spoke. Correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah, we're just under 14,000 members now. So we've still been growing. A lot of the programming, I've been adding in some additional features, but a lot of it is still, I had to shelve a bit. I have the intention of pushing forth an entire redesign, so I had to back up, and that's what I'm working on now, because I was spending a lot of time actually getting funding. So I wound up talking to investment groups, and so I've started getting in funding, because part of the difficulty with building a social network is the entire business model is based on having more people and eventually offering advertisements for businesses. So, you know, you really need to build the base before you can start bringing in a lot of the revenue. So, I had to backtrack a little bit and actually look for funding.
So, I mean, were you able – this is very interesting because, I guess it's been almost a month and a half now. I took a job as the chief business development officer for a company. And, you know, my whole job is basically finding funding and finding partnerships and everything else. Unfortunately, in a different field, so I can't help you there. But
I was going to say, let's talk after.
But, I understand how difficult that process is trying to quantify for an investor how you're going to monetize that over a period of time so they can, you know, they can actually get an ROI on their investment.
Right. And in this case, it's not just, talking about the business model and how they're going to get a return on investment, but I'm also having to overcome the threshold of the fact that I'm saying I'm a homesteading social network. And, when it comes down to it, when you sit down in front of a lot of investors and you say homesteading, they glaze over a bit because it's a space that they're real, that most of them aren't familiar with.
I'm sorry, I glazed over. What was that?
And so it's one of those things that when I go to pitch, either it's going to fall flat or I find somebody that it actually resonates with. One of my early advocates for the Bluegrass Angels, which actually have invested, so it's a Kentucky investment group. He owns a brewery. So he has chickens. He has ducks. So he's doing a lot of these homesteading activities. So when he heard me pitch, he said, "Well, that would be great." So those are the type of advocates that I really need going into it. Otherwise, it's a very, very difficult sell.
Okay, so let me ask you this. I mean, these, I work with a video game company, and I know how difficult it is not only to create the games and the infrastructure and everything else based on web and C++ and all the technology you have to kind of use to do it, and the cost of doing such. What kind of investment are you, does it take to go ahead and start a social media site and function to get it from point A to point B? I mean, it's got to be fairly significant, I would think.
Actually, it's not too bad because really all I'm looking to cover are some some basic expenses in terms of the hosting and some of the third party services that I'm using, and then some basic costs for some employees and programmers, in terms of the programmers, I can incentivize them with some equity as well. So it's not as bad as you would think. It's not like all I've really looked for in terms of the initial round of funding is $250, which in terms of startups in the startup world, that's a pretty low number, because a lot of startups, I know other startups in Cincinnati, there was one called Chore Monster, and the idea is that parents can sign up and kids can sign up, and you know they log all the different chores, and they get different benefits from doing their chores, and they're tracking it through the site. And that recently landed $750,000 for their seed round. So, you know, what I'm looking for is, you know, it's pretty small for, for a social network.
Yeah, and I agree. And the reason I'm just even going into this, and I apologize, is because I know in the self-reliance business, and Colorado Ron and I see a lot of this, there's a lot of people in the self-reliance community that are trying to take their self-reliance lifestyle slash hobbies and turn them into businesses and monetize them.
Yeah.
And it's not an impossible task, but it's a very daunting and difficult path, not just in the self-reliance field, across any. Doing that with any business is difficult when you're trying to start something out. I almost say sometimes it's luck of the draw being right place at right time. But it's even more difficult when you have to explain what the market is also.
Yeah. I agree completely with that. And that's really where I say it definitely needs to resonate with someone. Otherwise, it's going to fall flat. Let's face it, you know, the idea of homesteading and sustainability and self-reliance, it's not necessarily a popular topic with most investors.
Yeah, I would agree. I'll tell you what, we should jump on to the self-reliance stuff. If you want, we can set up a meeting this week, though, and maybe I can help steer you towards some directions on some startup VC funds that I know that still have money this year.
Okay, that'd be fantastic.
Let's go back to the site. So 14,000. Now you have been doing a lot of marketing and growing your community through things like Mother Earth News and our best buddies at Backwoods Home Magazine. And you participated in some of the shows also, correct?
Yeah, correct. So the Mother Earth News Fair, we were at in Washington, and then again in Seven Springs. And in both cases, we did some speaking as well. So I ran workshops on Bokashi composting, and both my father and I ran the do-it-yourself solar panel workshops, which, you know, I think the amount of traction we got just from those surprised both of us as well, because, you know, when we gave our first workshop on the solar panels, my father beforehand had said, you know, how many people do you think are going to show up to this? He said, I can't imagine more than 10 people wanting to figure out how to build your own solar panels. And when we saw the crowd, I mean, it was, the whole room was packed. I mean, it was easily, 200 plus people that were all sitting in the room wanting to hear about how to build your own panels.
Wow.
I lost the bet, and I had to buy him dinner.
Okay. What was the bet?
Oh,
nobody would show up.
it's one of those topics that tends to be highly technical and I guess a little, esoteric. So we weren't sure going into it how many people would say, yeah, I'd be willing to figure out how to build our own panels and hook everything up ourselves. And even after we gave the first workshop, I would say half the people stopped by the booth. They said, it was a great workshop. But based on what I saw, I'm not going to even try it. And then the other half said, this is fantastic. We're going to give it a shot.
Now, my question is, what made you even decide to do a workshop on that? You guys built your own panels to begin with, or how did you guys get involved in that?
Well, it all started by being cheap. we
like cheap.
We were put off by the expense of getting a whole system. So, I was doing some early looking and saying, okay, what is it going to take for me to get completely off the grid? And, a lot of it is based on the household power consumption, but I was getting, the average seemed to be them suggesting you needed a 5-kilowatt system for the average house. Now, the average house, maybe it's not as efficient, maybe it's, maybe they don't heat with wood, whatever, but still, that gave us something to go off of. And my father had come to me and said, hey, I found a bunch of cheap solar cells. Some guy on eBay had gone to one of these solar auctions. Basically what had happened is China flooded the market with cheap panels, and it drove some of the U.S. manufacturers under. And so a lot of it went to auction. And so people could go to these auctions and get them for pennies on a dollar. And then this guy got them for pennies on a dollar and was reselling them. But at the price that he was selling it, you know, at the time, you know, it cut our, in terms of the sell cost, it was about an eighth of the price. So by the time that we figured out all the pricing for this, you know, I could have paid for, you know, for the same amount, we looked at a 6-kilowatt system. For the same amount, we could have paid $48,000, and instead, to build all the panels, it wound up being $4,500. So, it's a significant difference. We basically cut our costs by, you know, it was a tenth of the cost.
Wow, that's incredible. And so, So you went from there to deciding to do a class on these. Can you still get the equipment to build these panels? I know you talked about the stuff was available at auction, but can you still get the supplies?
Oh, yeah. You can definitely – what the thing – whenever we give these workshops, one of the things that we encourage is, you know, sourcing out all your material, figuring out where you can cut costs. If you can – you know, they're still doing solar auctions, so, you know, maybe if you can get some of the cells that way. But even if you bought them at cost, you know, the cost of the cells themselves are coming down significantly. I think it's, you know, half of the price that it was just, you know, a year and a half ago. So you can buy this, buy the cells new, and you're still going to be cutting down on costs because, you know, there's a lot built into the time that these and manufacturing costs. So you're still going to save yourself money. It just, you know, if you source it out and get much better deals, you're going to, you know, undercut it quite a bit.
Gotcha. Okay.
There's still a lot of material out on eBay, so you can still find pretty good bargains on stuff.
Really? Yeah. All right. I guess I'm going to have to take this class, too, because I definitely want some more solar panels. All right. So tell us a little bit about Earth and Air and where it's at today, and what are some of your goals for the next year? What would you like to see from Earth and Air?
Sure. Well, with Earth and Air, the whole focus right now is simply with the redesign. You know, I knew that it had to happen sooner rather than later, so I'm redesigning the site, organizing it better, and really pushing through some features that I think are going to be useful. You know, being able to pin articles and blogs and content from other sites. So, you know, we're going to serve it a little bit as an aggregator of content so that we're, you know, if somebody finds a good article on Backwoods Home, they can pin it. You know, Backwoods is chock full of good articles.
Great articles.
And people can comment on the articles that are written. If somebody finds a blog, something that's written on a blog, they can pin it. If somebody's having a conversation on a wall in a group, you know, if there's a conversation on how best to deal with barber pole worms and sheep, and they think it's a really good conversation, they can pin it, and other people can see it and share it. So that's one. Another one that's going to be coming up is just a questions feature, so that I'm actually matching the experts. The people are saying that I can answer questions on these topics. I'm an expert in, you know, in beekeeping and with chickens, whatever. We can match the questions that people have with the experts and help them to get the answers that they're looking for. And I think I'm pretty sure I discussed this the last time. The whole thing I'm really angling toward is ultimately the trading application. So, you know, being able to really facilitating food swaps and seed swaps and plant swaps, you know, being able to take what you're already producing, you know, in surplus and finding other people to, you know, to network with and trade and barter with.
Interesting. All right. Well, one of my questions is, I mean, you know, you got your dad on here. I mean, did your dad get you into prepping or did you get your dad into prepping?
It kind of happened at the same time in some respects. I was into stuff like gardening.
Oh, yeah.
Here. And then Dan has had an interest in it, and it's And then he's gone further than I ever thought about going. So
that's one of the things about self-reliance and homesteading is the more projects that you take on, it continues to snowball. They're all, you know, we started tapping trees for maple syrup, you know, because my wife had gone to a workshop on it. We're going to a mushroom workshop. It's one of the things that's been on my to-do list for a while, but it seems that my list keeps getting longer and longer of all the things that I want to do. There's just so much information out there, and you know, once you kind of get the self-reliance bug, it's really difficult to stop.
Right.
But in the case of my dad and myself, you know, he's pretty much the other half of Earth and Air. So it wound up being that I influenced him, he influenced me, and you know, a lot of his engineering projects, you know, from constructing solar panels to building an electric car to hydroponics to looking into the Stirling engine, just all these things that his own interests were helping to drive, you know, what I'm doing on the homestead. So it's been a good combination.
Yeah, that's really cool. So you built his own electric car?
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you use?
It was originally a Volkswagen Beetle frame.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Old type.
Yep.
And it had already been fitted with a fiberglass replica kit.
Okay.
So the basic body looks like a 1929 Fraser Nash Roadster.
Oh, yeah. I know the kit.
And then we just turned around and got the gas engine out of there and converted the whole thing over to electric.
Did you do an 8-inch or 9-inch or?
For the motor?
Yeah.
Actually, we went a very strange route with the motor. We found a permanent magnet motor, what they call PEM motor, out of Germany. So it's a pancake type motor. It's not like one of the warp motors or something like that. This thing's different.
Interesting.
And what's nice about the pancake type permanent magnet motors is they're very lightweight. So
we were able to put
in a motor that could develop 30 horsepower.
What was your range?
It's about 15 miles.
Yeah.
How many batteries did you use?
We wound up using 12 batteries overall. For the time being, we've kept it as a 72-volt system.
Okay. Yep.
We want to up it some. In other words, we talked to the manufacturer, and are probably going to go to 90 volts on that one. But then we also have we're going to refit it later on. We have a specialized electric motor that was originally in the Ford electric vehicles that Siemens had made, and we managed to get a hold of one of those.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, the only problem is it's 480 volts, three phase. So it's going to be an interesting conversion.
Now there's a funny story along with the electric car because, we were doing work on the electric car before a lot of the electric cars really started hitting the market. So I think we kind of we took the DMV by surprise a bit because they didn't know what to make of it. You know, they hadn't seen an electric car before. And so we were trying to get it registered so that we could drive it on the road. And the lady was trying to enter it into the computer, and there wasn't any classification for it. So she said, "Do you think that this could be considered a rotary engine?" And we're like, "Well, yeah, I guess so. It goes around and round." So sure. She said, "Well, okay, how many cylinders does it have?" Zero. And she said, "Okay, well, let me see if it takes it." So we're probably the only car registered in Kentucky as a zero rotary
zero cylinder rotary engine. Nice.
And just so you know, it was about a month process of going between our local Department of Motor Vehicles and then the main office in Frankfurt before they came up with the solution of how to get it into the system.
Wow, that's crazy. Now, yeah, I've often looked at that and thought about doing the conversion myself as well. But man, it seems like it costs so much. What did you guys end up spending to pull off a project like that?
It wasn't too overly bad. I think that we have maybe about $2,000 into it.
Well, see, that's not bad at all. See, that's a lot better than all the, you know, all the calculations I did. I was up in the $4,000 to $8,000 range.
Yeah, I'm trying to think how much Ben. There was another guy who had done another workshop who he's on Earth and here as well, but he had built an electric car too, and I think he actually undercut us. He was something at like $1,200 is how much.
Really?
He cost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now he did some interesting stuff though. He I think reused a motor used from somewhere and did a whole lot of weird things, but
from a forklift, I think.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen people talk about doing that as well, the electric forklifts, and you know, I thought about going that route as well, and you know. Honestly, you know, with a 15-mile range and as wide open as it is around my area, I've kind of come to the conclusion I'm seriously thinking about just doing a solar paneled roof on an electric golf cart.
Yeah, well, the other thing that we've been strongly considering is just we have way too many projects. But the other thing that we've been talking about is you know the electric motors are really ideally suited you know to being able to pull things.
Right. Yeah, because so, you get a lot of low-end torque.
Yeah, so we are thinking, you know, a couple things. One is that would make a fantastic farm truck, you know, because you're still keeping it close to the farm and able to haul wood back and things like that. And the other thing is, you know, we could take something like a four-wheeler and make it electric as well because, you know, the number of times that we take the four-wheeler out.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's kind of the same thinking on the golf cart because I thought, you know, my buddy's got a lifted golf cart next door, and I just look at that thing going, dang, that's so handy. I can just jump in it side by side, don't have to climb on it, don't have to, you know, he's out of the weather, he can drive it all winter. It's like, man, I should just get one of them. So what are some of the projects, what are some of your favorite projects now that you've gotten into Earth and Air here? What are you know, you talked about the solar panels. You've done electric car conversion. What are some of your favorites? Let me ask it a different way. What are some of the coolest things that you've learned since you've started Earth in the Air that you didn't know before? Some of the skills.
Huh. I'm trying to think of. I'll say this. You know, since I started into to homesteading. So probably for the past 8 years, you know, I've been doing this, but I've just been continually adding to my repertoire of skills. So, you know, just reskilling myself along the way. But, you know, me personally, you know, there have been very few things that I haven't appreciated. You know, obviously there are things about homesteading that, you know, it's not easy. You know, it's dirty, it's gritty, it's, you know, you're chasing down a goat who pulled another Houdini on you, or you're listening to the screeches of guineas and trying to figure out what's picking off your birds, or you're burning sap at the last minute when you're boiling down for maple syrup. So there's a lot of things that homesteading's not easy, but pretty much everything I've done I've enjoyed doing. I talked about the maple syruping. I've really enjoyed that's become an annual tradition. And a lot of people complain about how long it takes. And it's true. It takes a long time to boil
down.
That's
a big process. Yeah, yeah. I've only read about it, but just reading about it was tedious.
Yes, it's about a 40-to-1 conversion. So you have to boil down 40 gallons of sap to make a gallon of maple syrup. So it's a long process, but it's, you know, I enjoy it. You know, the trees are producing it free. You know, I'm getting, you know, I'm doing all this over a fire. So, you know, a lot of this is just,
what's that, you know, like?
I enjoy doing, but on the more technical things, obviously the solar panels is a big one for me, because, you know, I can immediately apply that.
Right.
But I'm trying to think of.
So next time I'm out in Kentucky, I'm coming over for pancakes.
Please do. We can make buckwheat pancakes with maple syrup.
Oh, that sounds good.
I think,
have you guys always lived in Kentucky?
No. I've moved around a lot, mainly with my parents. I think my father's part gypsy. That's my only assumption. But growing up, I lived in 7 different states.
Okay.
But Kentucky is the one that we've settled down with. You know, it's the one we've stayed the longest, and I like Kentucky. You know, it's beautiful country. It's, you know, rolling hills, and you know, I enjoy it. Plus we have a great growing season here. It's hard to complain. You know, we have mild winters, you know, long summers, and we still get lots of sunshine and oddly enough, still lots of rain, because when we get rain, we get downpours. So it's, you know, it's a good state for growing.
Nice. Yeah, honestly, I've looked at Kentucky a little bit, but never really focused on it. It does look like it's a beautiful area out there. I've actually looked more at the Tennessee area than the Kentucky area, but I don't know why. I don't know why I've never looked in the. What's the biggest city close to you? What's the
biggest? The biggest city right now, because we're closer to the northern Kentucky area, so the biggest one is actually Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to be moving a bit further south, and then the biggest city will be Lexington, Kentucky.
Are you going to build your own house?
Yes.
You are? What are you going to build it out of?
I don't know yet, and that's because we haven't started looking for land yet. That's really the next stage. But you know, we're in a place where we're saving our money and we're building our veneer, and then once we get past that point of just bootstrapping, then, you know, then we can look at getting land and building. And I have a friend in that area who is a builder himself, so it should be pretty easy. And, you know, the most I've done is rehabbing a house, but that in itself was a lot of work. But I'm going to really rely pretty heavily on the friend of mine to help with the process.
Yeah.
I think you should build an Earthship.
Earthship, yes. I've looked at those too.
One or the other.
Interesting. Well, hey, we got to start wrapping up here. I got a quick question for you though.
Okay.
Can you give me what are some of the best reasons for people to join Earthineer?
Some of the best reasons just have to be with the group of people and the topics. You know, so there are a lot of you know, tried and true homesteaders and preppers that are on the site sharing information, and in some cases finding each other. So it's just good for you know, talking, having conversations about all the things that you are doing and appreciate.
Great. Okay. And how do people find the website?
It's just at earthineer.com. They can sign up. It's free, and immediately start participating in some of the conversations.
And free pancakes if you drive through Kentucky.
That's right. So yeah, if we talk to you here in the near future, what's the next milestone? I mean, you said you're at 14,000. I mean, what is there, like a big party that gets thrown when you hit 20K?
I think I'll start celebrating once I get past the 50K milestone, then I'll start celebrating.
Okay, you guys heard it here first. 50,000 in the parties at Dan's house.
Pancake party.
I'll have a pig roast and invite people.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Nice. That's not quite Facebook type party, but that's pretty good when you're a homesteader.
That's right. Well, hey, are you guys interested in coming out to the Self-Reliance Expo?
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
Awesome. Are you going to be able to teach us some of the cool things that you've taught in the past, such as the solar panels?
Yeah, and actually, I'd like to talk to you more about that because I think that would be an awesome topic for the Self Reliance Expo.
I agree. That would be awesome. Okay. Well, we'll have to talk about that. Well, let's make sure that happens over the next couple of days,
okay.
and get that done. Hey, Bubba, you got anything else you need to jump in here on?
No, I think we're good to go. I'm just I'm glad to hear you know everything's going well for Dan, and you can give me a shout here later. And it was a pleasure meeting your dad. Nice to meet you, sir.
Nice to meet you guys too.
And yeah, next time I think I want to hear a little bit more about how your dad got involved in Earth and Air and how he participates, because anybody that can put to, you know, is working on things like engines and everything else and being part of the process is, you know, has got to be a pretty good asset to the company.
Well, I just say I'm certifiably nuts.
There you go. Are you certifiably nuts owning 51%? That's the real question. If that's,
nice.
If that's the case, you're the right sort of nuts. All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for coming in and giving us an update and joining the show. And hopefully we'll see you guys in about 45 days at the expo.
Sounds good. Sure. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys.
Take care.
Take care. All right, that was Dan Adams of Earth and Air. What a good bunch of guys.
Yes, they're great guys.
Now, are you on Earth and Air? I'm on Earth and Air.
I am on. Yep. Now, I'm actually looking at a geodesic dome greenhouse right now.
Oh, well, there you go. All right. I have to admit though, I don't check it nearly often enough.
I'm terrible about that. I need to be on air more often. I need to make it like my homepage or something because there's just so much information on here. But I can see myself getting lost in here for days.
I have a hard enough time just making sure I update the Facebook page every couple of days. And you know,
yeah.
And my problem is, especially now, I was a lot better when I wasn't working a regular job again. By the way, if you guys notice, there's a running theme here. I'm not adjusting well to being in an office looking at contracts 10 hours a day. Today, just so you know, today I had to come in at 5:25. That's in the office at 5:25, and I will be out of here probably at 9 o'clock tonight. And that's just trying to get through the paperwork for today. I mean, I know, cry me a river, but yeah. I feel horrible because I've gone a year where I got up in the morning and I could grab a cup of coffee and go out with the chickens and not have to worry about anything. And now I'm back to deadlines and everything else, and I'm not sure if I'm cut out for this stuff anymore. We'll have to we'll give it another month and we'll see. You may see Bubba. You know, I'll be like one of those commercials. You know, running down the street, throwing off my jacket, pulling off the tie, you know, and everything else. The next thing you know, you'll see me like, you know, in a whole different thing with barefoot with a, you know, a hay straw coming out of my mouth and you know, and you know. You know, holding my chicken. So
hold your chicken.
Take that any way you want. All right. So.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you've been in the office too long, my friend.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Well, we're gonna take a quick commercial break, guys. And when we come back, we won't be on live anymore. We're gonna go ahead and roll directly into the pre-recorded stuff on Doc Bones and Nurse Amy.
Awesome.
So, and then next week we will be talking to the guys from Colorado Ron did a great job and managed to lock down the guys from Homestead General, and I believe we're also going to talk to James the Chicken Boy again.
Oh
next
yeah,
week.
Yeah. Let's see how he's doing. We need to do an update on him. See how he's doing.
Well, and he's in Kentucky too, isn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah. Maybe we hook them up. They can have. He guts a couple of chickens and, you know, and Dan makes some buckwheat pancakes and, you know, be a big old party in Kentucky.
That might be worth the drive, pig roast.
Yeah,
there
you go. That's awesome. But on top of that, you know, and I think his update is the email he sent us was, hey, my chickens are doing well, but, you know, it's time for planting season, so let me get on. And so we'll see what this highly motivated young man has to say about getting ready for planting. I enjoyed the conversation, I have to admit.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. Let's do it.
All right, brother. Well, we won't talk. We'll talk to you next week. And, guys, after the commercial, we'll roll into Doc Bones and Nurse Amy, and we'll talk to you guys soon. All right, take care, buddy.
All right, we'll see you.
Hi, this is J. Stephen Stoller for Backwoods Home Magazine. If you like the program you're listening to right now, consider subscribing to Backwoods Home Magazine. Call 1-800-835-2418 or go to www.backwoodshome.com and click on the subscribe button. Every issue of Backwoods Home Magazine is over 100 pages, packed with solid self-reliance advice by experts who tell you how to survive in these unpredictable times. Call 1-800-835-2418.
Let's go ahead and give Doc Bones and Nurse Amy a call, and let's get them on and get to going. And once we do that, then we'll get here ready wrapped up, because I know I don't want to break. I don't want to blow their news, so I guess I better not say anything.
All right, let's hear it.
I was going to say, well, we can talk about this. And then they would go, yeah, Colorado Ron and Bobo Dinge, you just told us. No. All right, that's not who we wanted.
What's up, man? Come on, man.
Oh, come on.
Make this smooth.
It's always difficult. Yeah, I've only been doing this for like 9 months now. Come on.
Hey,
hello. There's Doc Bones and Nurse Amy. Hey guys.
Hi. Are you guys doing this live?
Of course. No, it's live to tape. Come on. Come on. We know you guys too well. We're gonna have to edit the heck out of this.
Good girl.
I know you are. Well, hey, thanks for coming on. We were telling everybody you guys got so much going on. You guys got something pretty exciting going on like this weekend.
I know, right? I'm actually getting a slight headache just thinking about finishing packing for this. Okay, so yes, we've been doing for a long time teaching these tutoring classes, and we're actually traveling to Germany on Saturday to travel around and speak to some people over there in a town called, I think it's pronounced Friedrichshafen, and it's on a lake called Lake Constance, and we're very excited. We're actually going to just take carry-on luggage for 28 days, so everyone who thinks you can't travel light, you can do it if you just put your mind to it.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, you actually, did you think 2 years ago when you came to the Self-Reliance Expo in Colorado and you guys were kind of just really getting going and getting momentum going, that 2 years later, not only would you have just a hugely successful book and a very successful store business, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but that you would be traveling to another country to speak to people on prepping?
I know. It's a little crazy. It's been nuts. And the schedule coming up, I mean, basically, from the moment we get back on March 30th, we are April 5th, we're going to be at USA Prepares. I think it's the 5th.
Yeah.
Yes, the 5th.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Doc Bones. How you doing?
Hey, God, he's here.
Well, I figured you were back there somewhere, but you know, Amy jumped in right at the beginning, so we figured she'd let you talk at some point.
She's the star of the show.
Okay.
She always is.
The truth is, he wasn't here for a minute. He had to go to the bathroom.
Too much information.
See, Amy didn't hold out.
I was going to say, and there's the first edit. No.
Right. He's been outed from the bathroom visit.
First things first, guys.
All right. So I know. April 5th, you're going to be at USA Prepares.
Yes. The 6th, we're actually teaching class. Maybe that's the 7th. No, it's the 6th and 7th. I'm so sorry. And the teaching class is at 4. We're supposed to be speaking also. I'm not sure what that time is scheduled, but that's a Saturday, Sunday.
I think we're only doing one.
We're doing one teacher class at 4 o'clock on Saturday, and then I don't know when we're lecturing.
Next day.
You know this for
sure?
Yes,
I know many things.
He knows many things, see?
Many things.
I should only ask the man.
Yeah.
And the woman shall know.
Yeah. That's what we're here for.
Then hopefully we're going to get a little relaxation, and then the super exciting Self-Reliance Expo.
Our favorite event.
Woo! Everyone
has it. You're just saying that.
No, we love it. We love all the people that come there, the vendors that are routinely there. We're all becoming, you know, like close family. It's like, oh, we get to see you again. That's awesome. So that will be, of course, April 26th and 27th. I have that right, correct? Friday and Saturday.
Friday, Saturday. And you guys are doing classes there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir, we are. We are doing a sutra class on Friday at 5 o'clock and Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. That class, I may have one spot, but it just, I haven't checked in the past 24 hours, so it could be sold. But Friday, I had, I think I've got like 12 left.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, and that's incredible for the end of April.
This I know. I know. Isn't that ridiculous? It's like, what the heck? So, yeah, if you guys are interested, you better sign up because they're only doing two classes. So if you're listening to this, you're going to be at the expo. You can go to selfreliancexpo.com. At the bottom of the page, there's a link called classes. Click on that, and you'll see their suturing class right there and register.
It just shows how hungry people really are for this information.
Absolutely.
I mean, let's be honest. There's a need for it. I mean, we have this crazy sequestering coming on before, you know, in the next few hours.
Yeah, I was going to say the deadline's like an hour and 30 minutes from now.
Yeah, and I heard Washington, D.C. is basically emptied of anyone of any significance. So there's no decisions that can possibly be made to change the course of this. It's a traveling train, and we don't know if there's going to be any crashes or what the effects are going to be, but it's a little out of control right now.
Well, it basically shows that we're in uncertain times, and in uncertain times, you just aren't sure that you can depend on the things that you normally can depend on. And,
one
of those things is the availability of medical professionals to help you in times of emergency. And so you may find yourself as the end of the line if things get bad enough with regards to your family's well-being. That's why it's so important to get your act together and be medically prepared as well as prepared with food storage and, of course, prepared for your personal and home defense.
Wonderful. And always the consummate salesman and very eloquent the way you say it. So much appreciated.
He's very calm. You see, I'm all excited and he's like, I will just speak calmly here.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I learned a very long time ago that if you want to tell someone to go to hell, the important thing is to make them look forward to the trip.
I like that philosophy.
I'm gonna have to really be careful what he says to me. I'm gonna have to really think it through.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm gonna have to play back the show like two or three times and find out.
Telling me to go to hell.
Yeah, at what point did I accept the trip?
Why was I looking forward to it again?
Exactly.
I know he sold me the ticket. I just don't know when I said okay.
I like it there. It's warm.
It's warm. Oh, honey, you're funny.
That's funny. So, right. So tell me. Okay, so you're after that. You guys are where?
Well, somebody mentioned something about a show in California on, I think it's May 25th, but I have absolutely no details about that whatsoever.
I believe it's in San Diego, and that's still a to-be-announced kind of deal.
Yeah, that's a we'll see. And then, let's see, then
Mother
we're
Earth.
Doing Mother Earth on June 1st and 2nd.
That's
right.
It's
in Gallup. Yep.
Yep, in Washington. Then the following weekend, we have to drive down to Bakersfield, California, which I didn't realize was so far away.
Oh, Bakersfield, Central California. When I was a kid, we called it the armpit of California because it's just way down there. I mean, come on, you're not that far from a city named after a bathroom, Los Baños.
Yes, Los Baños.
So. There you go.
I'm really looking forward to that one.
Oh, it'll be fun.
It'll
you know what?
It's always good.
That coast has been underserved by the preparedness expos, and so I'm glad that, you know, something's going on over there. It was like when we went to North Carolina for the Self-Reliance Expo. It was kind of an underserved area, and I think they really appreciated, you know, having the group come out and do some education and teaching,
right,
and give them a place to, you know, kind of look around and say, what do I need? What do I have? So
yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited about it. And then,
we're supporting that. We had them on 2 weeks ago, real nice guys. They're brothers. And, you know, we're definitely promoting that one. Cause I think, yeah, they actually came to the, Arizona
Mesa
event.
Yeah. Yeah. They were in Mesa. Uh huh.
You know, that's where we met him, Brian, and that's Prepare to
Endure.
Yes, P2E. P2E. That's a tongue twister.
It is. It definitely
And then somebody on this phone call is going to have another expo in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah. What the heck?
Ours is a little grassroots one. It's actually not an expo. It's a festival.
Festival. Yes, I'm so sorry. A festival. See, he's making us look forward to it. A festival.
That's right.
Exactly. We'll be wearing our Renaissance outfit.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
Right.
We'll dress
Here's the difference is, if I called it an expo, my wife would have an expectation that I'm actually going to get some of the money back. calling it a festival, I could say it's just kind of
just
a fun
big party.
It's just a fun event to teach people some basics, and it, all the money that we put into it and we lose, it was all for fun.
Right, you flushed it down the toilet, but you did a good deed,
that's
important.
No,
and I think there's actually a lot of people in Iowa, from what I've been hearing from American Preppers Network, that they are really growing. They're looking forward to the event, but their groups are growing astronomically. I mean, there's a lot of people in that area that are eager and looking forward to having this information.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the goal of that event, is it's going to be information heavy, vendor light. I mean, we're not going to have a tremendous amount of booths out there. Just because I'm not sure at the very forefront it's going to be a lot of buyers per se. It's an education process, but I do definitely think that this is something that can grow. You know, because I think people in the Midwest have again been, you know, left out there on their own for a significant amount of time. So
yes, and the more people we can touch, the better. And you know, I'm glad Self-Reliance Expo is supporting that also.
Yeah. Yep. And then after that, I mean, you don't slow down. I mean, you keep going from there, right?
No. Actually, I am not sure after that. I know there's another USA Prepares on July 20th and 21st.
Mother Earth again.
Then I don't know what Mother Earth
That's
schedule
in Pennsylvania.
Is. I know, but I don't know the date.
It's in the early fall, possibly.
Yeah. And then Self-Reliance Expo, you guys we're doing it 5th and 6th October?
Fourth and fifth.
I'm always off by one day. But I was darn close.
That's going to be one of our favorite parts of the country.
Yeah, Denver. Yeah.
Denver. Love it.
Love
never Colorado. Never want to leave Colorado.
Love the state of Colorado.
Oh, it's so beautiful. So that'll be lots of fun. And you know what? Again, you get to see people that came out before. And a family of vendors, so we always look forward to the Self-Reliance Expo, especially. I have no idea after that what's going on.
Take the rest of the year off.
Honey,
that'll be awesome.
This is why I am leaving tomorrow. I told him, I said, before we start getting these invitations, and I think we had to turn down about 5 invitations for the month of March. Because I knew if we didn't plan this early, we'd start saying, yes, of course we'll be there. We can't say no. We want to get out and help people and teach people, and we just
right.
and we love
not,
it.
And
we
it's
love
not
it.
Like we hadn't already done stuff this year. We've been to 5 different Florida cities doing suturing and stapling classes. And,
yeah, we've been busy already.
It's been the days are just packed. Let's put it that way.
I'm getting on that plane. I wish I could shut the phone off, but unfortunately, I think we're going to have contact with the outside world.
How's the book sales?
Oh, the
wow.
Book, The book actually, now we're self-published, and so we're really amateurs at this kind of thing. I thought the book would sell maybe like 150 copies.
Don't be so modest.
Low expectations.
Low
expectations.
And we've sold about 20,000 copies so far, and on top of that, the book was pirated in China and actually has had 50,000 downloads there. So I don't know. Somebody actually must have translated it into Chinese. I don't know how they do that, but they did it.
Unbelievable.
Of course, there's nothing I can do about it.
50,000 downloads. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that really stinks.
We say 50,000. That's just what I've seen. Every time I go on there, I look and it says how many downloads. And
We don't even look anymore.
I don't even look anymore. I have given up. And we had considered. I know all of us have talked about how the Japanese are really aware of preparedness, and we talked to a translator, but it's like 10 cents a word or something?
Well, it's not 10 cents a word, but it is.
No, I think it was a word. Per word.
Yeah, it's a penny a word or something like that.
Okay, whatever. It's very expensive.
Yeah.
You know who you should find?
Who? That I'd like to know, really.
We'll take notes.
Honestly, and this is good for information for anybody, really, is contact your local LDS church, Mormon church, because everybody goes on missions in the church, and they all go to different countries. In almost every ward, it seems like, or every stake, somebody has gone on a mission to Japan and speaks it fluently.
They can
help with the translation.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
I have another suggestion.
Yes,
Is you could get that pirated copy by the Chinese. And you could take it all, and you could copy and paste it into Google Translate, and then copy and paste it back.
Yeah, because I've used Google Translate.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, I'm talking to the German guys, and it doesn't always translate exactly.
I know, I was kidding. But
what do you mean cut his arm off?
You just have to make sure you write a disclaimer at the beginning of the book to say, this was for entertainment value. Yeah, so...
A nosebleed? What do you mean? What do you mean decapitate him?
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, for entertainment value, because it'll be very funny to read.
Medical procedures, right. Step one, cut the guy's head off. Step two, step on it.
Throw it back on.
Oh, we just have way too much fun. I'm giggling by the end of the day today. I'm trying to make sure I don't forget anything. You know that feeling, you guys, when you travel and you just feel like, am I going to forget something? And you just have the sneaking feeling that you're going to forget something. And you're driving away from the house and it's too late to turn around, or you're on the plane already and you go, oh, no.
Yep.
Oh.
Well, that's kind of the way it works out sometimes, doesn't it? It's And even if you were on the ball, Amy, where you thought you had everything on a list, you'd still get there and either find out that there was something critical that you didn't have on your list, or number two, the airport would lose your luggage anyway.
Right. There's always something that happens. The last time we were in Europe was 2010, and we were trying
in
to get
April.
On it. Yeah, when we were trying to get on a plane from Munich to London, and a volcano erupted in Iceland.
Right, a few hours earlier. We didn't know it.
For the next 3 weeks, and we were supposed to go home, I think, in a week after that. For the next 3 weeks, it was a no-fly zone, because I guess bits of microscopic glass that was in the
atmosphere. High in the atmosphere where the planes are.
So we wound up, instead of... we were just going to be in Germany and England.
Yep.
And we wound up taking trains
to France. Paris.
Through Paris. We went through the Basque country in Spain. We ended up in Madrid, and that's how
that's the only place
the only
that was
airport
flying
that was
at
open,
that point.
Yeah. And so, but you want to know something? It was an adventure, and
got to see Spain. That
right.
was beautiful.
If you have get some lemons, sometimes you can make lemonade.
Right.
Yeah, I think we talked about that once before, because I was on the same not the same trip, but on a trip at the same time also, and I got stuck in Sweden, in Stockholm.
I totally remember that.
Yeah.
You know what? It's about thinking on your feet no matter what happens. What happens at home, what happens at work, no matter where you are, you've got to think on your feet and say, okay, this is the situation I've been presented with. What am I going to do?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I'll tell you what, it was a huge thing to, even back then, to kind of feel like you had enough base knowledge that you weren't in panic mode, that you could do what you had to do just to make sure that you were okay.
Right, and that's all about preparedness too.
Right.
Is absolutely getting yourself in a mindset that no matter what happens, I will figure it out and it's all going to be okay.
Right. From a medical standpoint, you know, you see somebody get injured, you actually become paralyzed for a moment. Now, that happens to everyone for a second, but then if you know what to do and you have some knowledge, then you can go take action in a timely manner to get that person to recover from their injury. And this is the thing, is that most people are going to be like deer in the headlights, but it's not going to be just for a second kind of thing. It's just going to be, their brains are just going to blink out altogether.
Paralyzed.
And they're just going to be paralyzed, have no idea what to do. And they're not going to figure out what to do either because they've never thought of it before.
That's the whole thing. You have to put your mind into different situations, even worst-case scenarios. I mean, these shows that tell you, okay, you're in a worst-case scenario. Your car goes off the road. Your car is now sinking in canals, and we have a lot of canals down here. What do you do? And just putting your brain and say, okay, I would do this, 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 and this. You make sure that is the correct procedures to be doing, but you just think about it, and then once you've thought about it, then you can kind of move on to the next scenario. And it's again about preparation. What are you going to do if your electricity goes off? How are you going to cook the next meal? Think about it. Where are you getting the food? Do you have it stored already? What kind of energy sources do you have? If you want to run a gas grill, do you have your gas cylinders filled up? Do you know how to work it? And just running yourself through these little drills, just every once in a while, it makes you feel, if that happens, I have some clue as what to do, you know, some steps to follow.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%. You know, it was funny. I was just doing a class at a local church, and I told him, I said, you know, the quickest way to find out what you're missing is to actually just shut off your electricity. And I guess they took it to heart because I got a bunch of emails from people saying, I am so unprepared.
Oh, no. But that's a good point. That's an absolutely good point. It is, again, one thing to think about it, another thing to research and read about it. It's a whole other ball game to do a drill, and then, of course, taking it even further to actually experience it for real.
Yes.
So yep. The drills are a good idea. We haven't actually shut off the electricity in our house.
Well, right? Of course, you live in an area that happens fairly commonly.
That happens with hurricanes. So we don't have to do it. They do it for us.
Right.
Very, very convenient.
Yes, we have forced drills, not voluntary.
No, that makes sense. Well, you know, I think the sequester that's happening today will also, I think, enlighten a lot of people about how much more reliant they have to become in on themselves. Because, I mean, from everything I'm hearing, now I know a lot of it, in my opinion, is scare tactics.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, but they had prisons letting out, I think it was a little over 1,000 immigrant detainees this week, because they say that there's no money to hold them. I know that, you know, there's scare tactics that, you know, meat and different products are not going to be able to be inspected because of the cuts to the USDA, and so they're going to, you know, there could be 2 and 3 week backlogs on approving meats and milk and things like that before it hits the stores. And
wow.
So yeah, it's now again, I think a lot of these are scare tactics, because I mean, if 3% and 5% cuts are that detrimental, we're in deeper we have deeper problems than the sequester. But, you know, I think what's going to happen is people are going to see a large increase of prices and a lot of scarcity of things that they are used to, and they're going to have to tighten their belts, and I think it's going to scare a lot of people into getting prepared.
I think you're right. And even if it's a little scare, that is a good stimulus. What we didn't want to happen and don't want to happen is an absolute sudden collapse. I mean, you wake up one day and there's no food on the shelves. There's, you know, you can't afford what is there. You don't want this to be something sudden, because then the people who are open-minded to prepping but just aren't aware that it's something they should be doing don't have the chance. The common sense folks that are just going about their business, they don't think anything's going to change. And then this little change here may help a lot of people, give them that that little push to just open up their mind to, you know what, things may not always be exactly the way they are. I need to get some preparation. I need to learn some stuff. I need to get some books, and I need to, you know, learn and acquire some stuff.
Yes.
Now, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you. You know, it's funny because, you know, we've been preaching this for, you know, quite a while now, right?
Absolutely,
And it's so funny that I've gotten two text messages today alone from friends that said, okay, now where do you buy your ammo? Because I can't find any. And the other person said, okay, I'm ready to buy that AK-47. Where do I get that? And it's like, good luck.
Oh, no, you can get it. You're just going to pay four times what you should have paid when you spend it ahead of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the prices are – I will say that that is one thing I'm very happy with, that we do not have to worry about concerns of obtaining personal protection. That yep. Knock on wood, you know, we thought about this before, and I do feel bad for the people who are just waking up. Things are going to be a lot more expensive. The food storage, the alternative energy, water filtration systems, I mean, all of this stuff is going to be affected by what's happening today.
I just wish I bought 100 AK-47s.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You know? I mean, think about it. I mean, they're going for four times the amount. That's 400% return on your money.
Here's the downside. If you had bought 100, you'd probably have the FBI knocking at your door.
Good point.
We would be writing you prison letters. Dear Ron, how are you? I'm fine.
Ron and the new Mrs. Douglas.
Oh, no. That ain't funny, man. That ain't funny.
All right, well, thankfully, Ron, you did not do that. You are a law-abiding citizen, and you have no reason to be investigated.
That's right.
To anyone listening.
Yeah,
that's right.
So where I was going to go was, you know, based on what we were talking about, how, you know, prices are going up and everything else, yeah, tell us a little bit about what's going on with your store, because I have to imagine that the stuff is flying off the shelves, because it is becoming harder and harder to find just general prepping supplies. It would be hard to believe that the medical type stuff isn't flying off the shelves.
You know, it's funny. I was kind of ignoring this whole sequester thing and just going about my business, because we were getting ready to leave tomorrow. And what I've been doing is pre-packing a ton of medical kits in different sizes to be placed in a storage facility. And I have a friend who is going to run the store while we're gone. So every day that he came over and we were packing bags, I would be checking the computer, and practically what we just packed would get sold. One day we packed 15 mini bags, 15 personal bags, and I don't know, like three family bags. And this guy from Canada I've been, you know, corresponding with him a bit, but he placed an order that day for exactly what we packed. I mean, it was crazy, and I also sent off, I know, four huge boxes to Australia. So I had three or four huge boxes to Australia and four to Canada. I mean, each huge box, 24 by 18 by 12, weighed over 35 pounds. Yeah, the post office people were like, does that meet international weight limits? I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, just take the box. So, you know, because I print these labels off at home. But as we're packing this week, this past 3 days has been insane. I can't pack them fast enough. Every time I look at the computer, especially the dental kits, I don't know if somebody has mentioned our dental kit somewhere in internet world, but the dental kits are just, I keep getting them and getting, and the family medical bags. They want the dental kit and the family medical bag.
Right. And it's, I think that they're just, there are medical other medical bags, but you know, I've got a lot of companies that make them, but not a lot that make dental.
It's been getting faster, like more orders. But this week, this past few days, and I like I said, I'm not sure if it's related, but it's been insane. I'm trying to not look at the orders so I can just get on my plane tomorrow.
Well, I think, you know, I think it's great. For those of you guys who haven't been to the store before, the easiest way to get there is store.doomandbloom.net. Or you can just go to doomandbloom.net and then click on store. you know, the products out there in there are outstanding. Everything from your mini trauma kits all the way to the family medical bag. And the dental kits are very cool. I actually, if you go back on my Facebook page, when you guys put them on there, I posted all over about it because it was the first one I had seen.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
It's well, it has real equipment. I mean, this is these are the instruments that you would see when you go to the dentist. And the kits, I bought one from some big medical supply place, and it was actually a joke when it came to my house. I looked at these tiny plastic tweezers that were about an inch long, and, you know, like three cotton pellets and this teeny little thing of Dentem, and it was just, I showed Joe and I said, are they kidding me? What am I supposed to do with this? If I got a tooth that I have to pull out, this is absolutely no help whatsoever.
I mean, the stuff that we have, the extractors that we have, I mean, they are so solid.
They are heavy.
They're heavy.
I mean, if you bop somebody on the head, you kill them.
They're pretty hardcore looking extractors. I mean, look like something you might take with you when you want to torture someone.
All right, now I'm feeling left out.
No, they are very hardcore. And then on top of that, if I remember correctly, you also even had some like essential oils or something in there to use as like a as part of the kit. Is that right? It's like clove or something is what my wife said.
Yes, there's clove bud oil, which is also known in the dental industry as eugenol.
The dental anesthetic.
It does help numb gum pain and tooth pain, but it's also what you mix with the medical grade zinc oxide, and you make a little paste of it, a thick paste, and after you've cleaned out the tooth, if you've lost a cavity, or again, we're in survival mode and you need to, you know, fill somebody's hole before, you know, it gets infected and you've got to actually pull that tooth out, it's temporary, it's not a permanent solution. But it will cover and cap a cavity. So you can mix that zinc oxide powder. It's just a white powder. It looks very lovely when I'm packing it in my house in these tiny little bags.
Well, and here's the funny thing is now I know I owe my wife an apology because when we were going through the list and I saw that and she said that's probably what it was for, I said, see, you're full of it. I think it's to put in, mix in with your cigarette tobacco so you can have that after extraction smoke.
Oh, yeah.
and get that clove head rush.
Clove cigarettes, which are now illegal in this country.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they used to have.
So, so it's for temporary. And again, if you get into an infectious process where you have got to remove that tooth, it does have the elevator, which basically looks like a fancy chisel. I mean, it's the same idea. You're getting under the tooth and kind of lifting it up and trying to rip and tear those ligaments before you grab it with the extractor. And again, just a fancy mechanics tool shaped to grip a tooth. And, you know, then you can pull it out.
Right. And we don't just throw people these instruments. We have an entire
full instruction manual
about it so they can read about, you know, where you're supposed to position yourself if you're going to have to do dental work, you know, what
proper
needs to be done. Proper
and
procedure.
When and where and how to use all of this stuff, if necessary, and there's no dentist. Please see your dentist if you have a problem.
And one last thing. I noticed yesterday that you guys have 4-0 suture back online. So you guys found a source for suturing material.
Yeah, we have the 2-0 is a larger, thicker suture material. And the nylon, you know, will probably last forever. The 4-0 is the cat gut, and that's what's included in the dental kit. That breaks down. That's called absorbable suture. And that's what you would put for an inner layer, say, to attach insides.
Muscle tissue or subcutaneous fat on in a laceration. But it also is good to sew gum together.
Right. That's why it's in the dental kit. It if you want to play, let's say you pull the tooth, there is a dental hemostatic included in this called ACT Cell, and that's ACTCEL. And that will absorb into your gum tissue. You cut it in little tiny squares, and you just put it inside the hole that's bleeding. And then you could put one stitch pulling the two sides of the gums together. What you don't want to do is sew it completely tight, airtight, because you don't want to you want to allow drainage is
right.
What I'm trying to say. You don't want to seal it off. Okay.
Right.
You want it to be able to bleed out if it needs to and not bleed out.
Bad choice of words.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Be able to let the blood out is what I meant to say.
Now, bleed out is what would happen if somebody let me do the
blood. Yes. Poor medical choice of words. Switch them around, guys. Sorry.
That's okay. Well, impressive. The store has come a long way in the last year. Very impressive. And I wanted to make sure we talked about it because I couldn't believe the amount of supplies that are just flying through these sites, and I had to figure medical was the same. And
but I want to say one thing before we go on to anything else. We don't care,
honestly,
if you buy anything on our store. We publish the list of all the contents of each one of our kits right there.
Do it yourself.
You know, we just want you to have the items that are in these kits. If you want it already put together, we've got it for you. If you want to go find it yourself,
right,
go for it. You know, we just want you to have, we don't care if you buy our stuff, we just want you to have these items in your medical
prepared
store.
Exactly. So true.
Good to know.
Yes.
I think that's a positive attitude to have on doing this stuff. Kind of like, you know,
breaking even with the festival. I understand.
Yeah.
Just putting out the information is what's important.
That's all that matters, though.
Yep. All right. I guess we should probably let you all go and get ready to take that trip. I kind of wish I was going with you. I have a request, though.
Yes,
sir. When you guys return, and somewhere between the date you return and the marathon run of events that you have to go to, can we get you back on? And I'd like to get your opinion on two things. Number one, what you think the market is like in Germany. I mean, as far as like, were there a lot of preppers? Did they seem prepared? Just kind of getting an overview of the status over there. And number two is your feeling on the economic situation, on what they, because I feel bad. Germany has done everything they can for the EU. And I would be interested to kind of get their take on world affairs, because they've got to have a very skewed perception of what's going on there, since they seem to be the ones constantly putting up money and doing things.
Right. It's like they're carrying the EU on their shoulders.
They're one of the few really real success stories. I mean,
they produce a lot of things.
Right.
They're very innovative. Yes, engineers. They want to make things and produce things.
So we're going to be going through there. We'll be going through Austria and some of the other countries, and England also.
And Czech Republic.
Our website, I think England is the number two, no, after Canada, is number three in terms of the number of visitors to our website. So we're trying to put together something with some people there.
Very cool. Well, please come back and give us an update. I'd love to hear how it went over there.
Okay.
And then, again, I'd love to get, because you read on the news and they'll talk to people, but I always believe it's skewed on how they present it. I'd love to hear how the people that you're meeting with really look at not only what's happening with the EU, but how what's going on in the United States affects them over in Europe.
Yes, exactly. A different perspective on the world.
A more honest one, not one that's biased and selected and put in the paper or put on the news.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. And not filtered through our political filters also. I have a filter. You know, it depends on who is
speaking. Who has a filter?
Me. It depends. From my mouth.
Oh, okay. I wasn't buying that for a second.
All right. If Debbie Wasserman Schultz says something, I'm not going to believe anything coming out of that woman's mouth. I'm sorry. So I have a filter for certain people. However,
but she means that in the nicest possible way.
Yes.
On the way to hell.
All aboard, baby. All aboard. All right, guys. Thank you very much for joining us. You guys have a safe trip. We'll have prayers for you guys to make sure you guys are safe over there.
Thank you very much. We miss you guys, and we'll see you at our wonderful event at Self Reliance Expo.
All right, guys.
Sounds good. Take care.
Take care. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's always entertaining talking to Doc Bones and Nurse Amy.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good. They're good folks. I really like them.
Yeah, and good old Dr. Bones has the patience of Joe, because that Amy is a fireball.
She is a fireball.
She is always go, go, go. I get exhausted just talking with her at shows and everything else. I can't imagine being married and living with that woman and trying to keep up with her on a day-to-day basis. She's like an Energizer bunny that's got, like, eternal batteries.
Yes. That's true.
Oh, man. Oh, well. All right. So let's get this puppy wrapped up.
Okay.
So once again, we have a Self-Reliance Expo coming at the end of April. You can go to www.selfreliancexpo.com to get the information. And as we talk with Doc Bones and Nurse Amy, you can, at the bottom, you can click that classes button and sign up for the classes, right?
Okay.
And you can also click on there and look at the classes that will be done by Plowshare Institute, correct?
Yep. Uh-huh.
And next week, call Plowshare and let's see if next week we can get them on and we can have them on next week's show. We can have them as one of the two segments, because since we spent so much time talking about them earlier, I kind of feel like we have to keep the momentum running and try to get them on and talk about
Very
what
good.
They do.
I agree. I'll get a hold of them.
All right. And why don't you tell people where they can read about you and get a hold of you and find out more about what's going on.
Yeah, they can find me at facebook.com/ Colorado Ron Page. Just jump on there, shoot me a message if you need to get a hold of me, or if you guys want a topic covered on the show, just let us know, and we'll do our best to get that taken care of for you.
Yeah, and then as we said earlier, www.selfalliancexpo.com will get you information on the expo. www.backwoodshome will get you information on Backwoods Home Magazine, guys. Subscribe. It will be worth the money, because there's always awesome information inside there. And that's it. I think we're good.
All right. Well, let's do it.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you guys next week. We'll have two people on. Hopefully Plowshare Institute will be one of them. And as always, keep on prepping and be safe. Talk to you later, Colorado.
Take care.
All right. Bye.
We're from North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive.